You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we are going to be talking about some very strange letters and numbers. We're going to talk about GPT-3 and SEO and AI. And we're doing that with Penkil Shah, who is the CEO, those are probably letters you do know, of a platform called Outranking.io. Penkil, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's my pleasure.
So I want to sort of just start with some basics here, because I threw a whole bunch of letters and one number out there at the beginning. And this is something that I've been playing with probably since the beginning of 2021, when some of these tools that are built on this GPT-3, I don't even know what you called it. It's sort of a framework or a base for a lot of the tools that are out there that are writing or are artificial intelligence writing supplements or support tools. Can you sort of flesh this out for us so that we understand what this subject really is?
Yes, absolutely, right? So what is GPT-3? So in very, very, very simple terms, GPT-3 is a supercomputer. You can consider it a supercomputer that has about 10% of web information, and it can generate answers based on your questions, answers for your questions based on probabilities.
Okay.
So, go ahead. Yeah.
So 10% of the web's content. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. So it's considered a supercomputer that read through the entire Reddit directory, all the pages in Reddit, probably Quora or a few other pages on the web, read through them and has enough context to sort of build this probability chain where you ask something to it and it can build out the answer based on probabilities or its understanding of the 10% of the web.
Okay, got it. And this happened in a specific period of time, or is it ongoing? Where is this information from?
Right. So GPT-3 at core, it has different models. Models are like you can consider computer A, computer B, computer C, right? Like things like that. But its most powerful models are trained up till 2019. So it has information on it till 2019.
Okay. So if I'm asking questions about, something that's happening in sports or politics or something right now, it's not going to have that information.
No, it does not.
Okay. So that's the base of a lot of tools out there, including yours. Now, can you talk a little bit about kind of what these tools are that are built on top of this, that are using this information?
Yes, absolutely. Ever since GPT-3 came about, everyone has been thinking, okay, great, it has so much information. Let's go and mine that information and make something out of it, right? Like, let's make a few bucks out of it. And this would totally make sense. So what most of the softwares have done is that they've built this layer on top of it, which is called a brainstorming layer. So you give it some context and it'll give you some brainstormed ideas around that to you. That's one use case. So for example, if you write an email copy in a certain tone or a certain fashion or a certain pattern, which can be repeated, then you can convert that process automate that process through GPT-3. And now you can just give it some context and it can give you that entire email based on the pattern that you fed in. What it essentially is lots of tools have created this brainstorming platforms where they can understand some aspects of what you are trying to do, like an ad copy, sales copy, blog post, And based on probabilities, based on the information that it was trained on by you, as well as what it already knows, both together, it'll give you some output. And those output are ideas that you can then further refine or use it as you please.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot. So, basically, what you're saying is that you can use that content that was, for lack of a better word, scraped or gathered from the internet up till 2019 to structure content like an email or a blog post or any other piece of content. That I know some people who are writing full books out of, you know, the that stuff as well, or using these tools to. Now, there are some inherent problems with the way that you describe GPT-3 collecting data. I mean, I think the very first source that you mentioned was Reddit.
Yes. Now,
Reddit, I'm assuming, has somewhat inaccurate information in there. Is that the case, right? And so how does GPT-3 know what's true, what's false, what sort of information to return when you put a query in to say, hey, can you supply me with the right content for the thing I'm trying to write?
Right. So this is one of the biggest challenges when it comes to GPT-3. And this ties back into long form content more than anything else. If you are using GPT-3 for ad copy or an email copy or product description, things like that, where you have to give it specific inputs, and based on those inputs, you get ideas out of it. Those are ideas. You are going to copy edit them before they go live, right? So ideation process is significantly reduced if you use GPT-3. So it makes sense to use this process for things where you need to be more creative, because it can be creative and it can give you ideas. Now, these are ideas, so before they go to publication, you're going to refine them, right? Mm-hmm. But for long-form blog posts, it's very different. What happens in long-form is you need factual information. You need information that's current. You need information that is well-differentiated from facts and fiction, which GPT-3 cannot understand without active guidance. What you do over there is a little different, and that's why GPT-3 doesn't work very well with long-form content. It's because, yeah, sure, it can predict based on what you have already written the next few lines of it. But again, it's going to be difficult for it to understand what is more important, what is less important, what is more factual, what is an opinion, and build based upon that. It's reading through Reddit data, which can give you information that around which you don't want to be playing games on this, right? Like if you're writing for a client and you're writing a blog post, you don't want to be playing this fictional game in the content. So this becomes a major challenge because it does not have new information, because it's constantly going off the rail and creating stuff that is not factual, is more fictional. It becomes a real problem when you write blog post or long form content or any content that needs research.
So there's some tools that I've picked up along the way as you know, people are crowding into this space to sort of build software on top of this content. And I've gone in and so what you've described in terms of the content that gets generated, basically there's software that makes it easier to extract the information because they're kind of making a making it a little prettier and easier to interact or engage with the content and then extract the right information. So I might type into one of these tools, you know, write a introduction to a blog post about, you know, deep sea fishing or something like that. And it can start doing that. And then I can ask it to, you know, maybe give me some additional topics that are subtopics on the deep sea fishing topic. But it's pulling all this information raw from the GPT-3 database.
Yes.
Now, what I understand, having you know, spent a little bit of time in outranking, which you have built, is that you're not using solely that database as the source material to create blog content.
That's right.
So can you explain sort of what you've built in addition to that source, that raw source material, and why that's important?
Yes, absolutely. So we understood, like, when we started, like, the first time we got access to GPT-3, we're so excited. Hey, you know what? We're going to create this long form blog blog editor that can write 1500 words in a couple of minutes. We were wrong. That's not what the real use case of GPT-3 is, what we saw for blog post. When we started building out Outranking, we said, you know what? Research is mandatory. When you are creating a title, you have to do keyword research. When you are creating an outline, you have to do user intent research. When you are building out those sections in your outline, you are going to have to do factual research as to what bullet points or what information goes under those sections, right? Research is mandatory. You cannot skip it. If you want good content, you need to have good research. So our primary focus was, okay, we cannot rely on GPT-3 to give us factual information. So what can we do that so that we can make the most use of GPT-3 for in factual way? So what we did is we built out a layer and a search engine that work together. What they do is, for a particular headline that you're trying to write content for, you need to build research, right? What Outranking Concepts does, and that's the feature name that we call it, it goes to the top 50 ranking pages, top 20 ranking pages. It can also read through your own data bank, and it can pull out information that is closely related to the topic that you are actually writing about, or the heading that you actually have. So in shorter sense, the research already done for you. With one click, you can extract the sentiment, you can extract the information that is closely related to the information that you're actually writing about in a way that can then be influenced to write, to use AI to write upon.
So that means. Yeah, so you have some additional sources, one of which you mentioned is your own source. And so I'm imagining that there's like ways that we can upload stuff into the tool. But the key that you mentioned is, you know, the top, what was it, 20 returns that you're going to get from a major search engine. I maybe that starts with a G. I'm not sure. Who knows?
Right.
But the assumption there is that that is accurate information because it's been vetted through algorithms and through people going to those pages. I'm assuming that there's, you know, a small percentage of inaccuracy in all of that, that, you know, in the aggregate doesn't matter.
Yes, absolutely. And that's not avoidable, right? So that's why we build out this process, which is modular. So when the research is generated by reading existing information on the web, it's presented in a way that is ideas, right? Again, so those are facts, sure, but those are facts presented as ideas that you can then cherry pick and influence the AI to write those, write about those facts.
So if there was no GPT-3 involved, let me sort of imagine that this was a manual process. And I remember being taught a process like this, you know, back in the early days of blogging. It was go out and find the top blog returns and take a little from here and a little from there and then paste it all together manually yourself and then rewrite it all. And that's how you come up with your own original piece of content. That's sort of what you're doing. It's not exactly what you're doing, but you're helping speed up that process and provide structure and more accurate information.
Right. So our core goal has always been quality and research content. So when we do this research and we tell the users how to use this research, we tell them to add value on top of it. This is the information that's out there. When you are creating content which is valuable to your audience and you want it to outrank, you're gonna have to provide additional value too. So that is when you can use concepts, the feature that we have, in a different way. It can pull out sentiments from any text. So let's say, for examples, it's reading through a description of a product on Amazon automatically. So you said, for example, I'm looking for hot water heaters, and the brand is XYZ. It's reading through that information. It can extract sentiments like benefits, disadvantages of the product, complaints that customers have, so concerns people have around it, transform that text into steps or discussion format, right? It can do a lot of those things automatically. So what has happened is that now our audience is using to do the research and come up with content that actually is so far superior in quality and readability than what's already out there. There's a very quick example. Like, so you paste in your Amazon description from any page, it will go and extract the features, right? Now, these features extracted in 1 second are more readable, more understandable, more digestible by the user than what they're reading from, you know, the sites, websites like Amazon or any other place where there's tons of fluff that people have written around it, that consuming the right amount of information becomes super difficult when you're going through that page. Our product extracts what's super important and what is really important to influence the AI and the readers to get a whole understanding of this topic.
Now, a platform like yours is, you know, great for supporting writers. It's not writing everything on its own. So who are your ideal users? Are they professional writers? Are they business owners who need to churn out some content every week and they, you know, to stay relevant and they can't think of a thing to write? Who is this really for?
So there's a bunch of personas that we serve. Our personas are writers and solopreneurs or entrepreneurs who have been wanting to create content at scale, want to create better content at scale. So Outranking serves as a supporting platform to help you be a better writer, a faster writer, a writer that can write a copy that can actually rank in Google without having SEO knowledge. All of those, right? So we've also getting some traction from enterprises too who want to optimize the pages at scale. But our major core personas are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and content writers. Outranking is aiming to improve writing, improving long-form research writing besides anything else. So I don't think AI is going to replace writers anytime soon. If anything, it's going to make them better. And I think it's essential that marketers in 2021 learn about AI. It's going to be part of how you write going further. Might as well learn it right now on how to use it, how to provide it active guidance, and how to write really good information based on what capabilities it already has. But don't expect it to do all for you.
Now, I've noticed something, you know, from software companies in general, and I think you're no different in this, is that you're continuing to refine the platform. You're continuing to make improvements. I looked, you know, at kind of an old video from when you guys first launched, and things look very, very different from the way they look now. I think the current version is version 6, if I remember correctly. And, you know, you've built out things in there that help a user get through this process, because you got a lot of things going on here. So you have this wizard that kind of helps guide us through step by step what to do and other things like that. What sort of things have you learned along the way from your users that have significantly changed the product that you have today from what it was originally?
So a lot, actually, right? Besides that one fact where we brought in concepts, everything that we have changed on the platform is from user feedback. And that has always been our strategy, is product-led. So we've not spent a single dollar in marketing spend. We've majorly focused on bringing the best of the best product to the market. And you can only do that if you're collecting active feedback. So what we did was we started a group. When we first launched the product and we knew that we sort of had a product market fit where lots of people were joining in and requesting to get that lifetime deal access and stuff like that, we started building out this small community of users who are power users, and we asked them active feedback on whatever we are building. and to understand if it makes sense to them, how would they improve it, and what sort of challenges would they face around it, and then build those out. And we do this so fast in two sprints. Like, we have a major release happening, and there's a reason to this. And we understand it can be challenging for certain users because they see so many changes happening, so many enhancements happening. We're trying to shorten the curve of where the AI needs to be for writing for long-form blog post. And that just means you have to do tons and tons of reinventing of ideas because it's very new. There's so many nuances to it. So you have to learn very fast and you have to stay ahead of the game, right? So there's so many players out there or so many softwares out there trying to generate content out of thin air. And we want to stay ahead. So that's why we've been making this constant changes, constant iterations and enhancements to the platform so that our tech can stay ahead of what's already out there and can help you create that well-researched content.
I love the fact that you're doing this all, to begin with. But, you know, just a quick point for listeners who are not in the software development space and are thinking, you know, how does this, this doesn't apply to me. This, I'm not in this world. This isn't relevant. And if you think, well, how can what Pankhill just said apply to you? The fact that they are listening to and soliciting feedback from their client base, their customers, and then acting on it is so uncommon in most industries. While in software, it's certainly is a lot more common, but so many businesses could take what you've just modeled and apply it to what they're doing in their business.
Yes, absolutely, right? Take active feedback. No feedback is good or bad, right? Like, just take it as it comes and have an open mind, understand their point of view, and really see if you could have a better process in your product. You can have a better workflow, or you can have a better automation that can help bridge, you know, even those few seconds of someone's time. Then it's going to create that impression. It's going to create that usability in your product, and it'll just, naturally help you stay ahead.
And I will say, as a strategic marketer, it also reinforces the commitment that you have to your clientele, which means longer retention of those clients. And that's a key thing as well. So, hey, Pankhill, if folks are interested in checking out the software, you guys have a free trial or something that people can go through, right? How do they find out about that?
So just hop onto outranking.io and click on try free. There's a free trial. You can create two documents and use some AI characters. There's also, we're also doing a grandfather deal right now. That means we're allowing the first 1,000 subscribers to get the product at a very discounted rate, which is happening right now. And we have a few more weeks before we close that out. This gets you access to a platform that can really do tons of research and help you write really good content in at least half the time, right? So I don't want to claim and say that, you know what, you can write 10x faster or things like that. It's not practical. If you want to write really good content, it requires research, but Outranking can get you there in at least or better than half the time. So I'd say try it out. There's free trial. Just hop on, and all you need is email. And no credit required.
I love that, and it's efficiency and higher quality than probably they're producing currently. Which, if you just make that a regular routine, you churn out a lot more content, and you start getting more attention for your website, and you can use that content obviously in more ways than simply, you know, ranking well on search engines, and that's ultimately the goal here, right? Is positioning you as an authority and being able to, you know, share information with your email list and all of those things that enhance the value that you're delivering to your prospects and your customers.
Absolutely, yes. Just try it through. If you're writing any kind of content, Outranking is going to really be the game changer. What we have planned in coming months is going to sort of make it mandatory for the writers to have knowledge of how to use and work with GPT-3. It's going to be a core part of what you work with, how you work with. And Outranking is working on automating or at least elevating that experiences for writer to make it super easy to interact with AI have active guidance in place, and help you write any kind of content for web, which is not just brainstorming, it's facts like press release, case studies, stuff like that, right? Like even right now in our ranking, you can convert this podcast into a blog post in less than 10 minutes. So things like that, right? We want to focus on existing data, understanding existing data, and making your life better today.
I'm excited for a bunch of things you just said, like press releases and converting podcast content into blogs and so much more that we don't even know is coming because you haven't even thought of it yet. But I really do appreciate the chance to dive into what can be an intimidating concept and area, and you did a great job explaining it to our listeners, and I greatly appreciate you making the time to join me for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a very fun conversation, David. I really enjoyed it.
Folks, you've been listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I hope to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.